Okay, well, I can't believe we are here at another APCM. It's come round us so quickly. But I want to start by saying again a great big thank you. I know we've been thanking lots of people already, but there are so many people who just work so hard here at St John's in many, many different ways. And I just want to express a great big thank you, because without you, St John's would just not, it just wouldn't function. Again, we've produced this parish review booklet. We didn't do one last year, but flipping through it, it is very encouraging reading. It shows that we're a very active church, and it's the volunteers in the church who make this happen. So thank you for everybody. Thank you for people involved in the music. We've got a couple of music groups here. We've got the choir, we've got our organists. David's not here today, but thank you, Jean. Do wonderful work with the organ. The choir, as I say. Many people make the church look beautiful. We've got people cleaning it. Wonderful flower arrangers. The church is always... I'm always finding Janet particularly in here, sort of arranging something. So thank you particularly to the flower arrangers. Those who serve in the PCC, the Deanery Synod, those involved in children's work, explorers, last year Pathfinder, Cypher, Messy Church. We've got home group leaders, retired clergy, thank you. Thank you to everyone who worked so hard last year with our fairs, the summer fair, the Christmas fair, the quiz nights. The Poppy Festival was superb. Variety and spice, great evening of entertainment. And we've had film nights, men's breakfasts, ladies' lunches, craft mornings. A lot goes on. But thanks most of all to our church wardens and assistant wardens. Mark, Christine are standing down as church wardens. Thank you so much for all that you did. I'm so disappointed Mark's not here, because he has just had to come in as church warden and have the challenges we've faced, and he's just taken to them. And where would we be without him? Just remember how awful it was walking in there, always looking up, making sure something wouldn't fall on your head. He really has been superb. Rosie and Linda do great jobs. So Rosie always working out rotas and finding people to fill in. Thank you. And Chris, we've already thanked you as your role of treasurer. Very grateful to Jean and Derek Folkard. Very faithful workers here. Thank you. And of course, Jean runs the Friends and does wonderful fundraising for us. She doesn't stop. She's PCC secretary, electoral roll officer, arranges orders of services, finds people to read. Derek, in the meantime, is cooking at men's breakfast, and he produces this notice sheet each week. So thank you very much to the two of you. Let's give everyone so far a round of applause. Now, there are so many people who do so many things. I'm just going to say thank you to you all, because I'm bound to miss somebody out. But just a reminder that everything we do is because we're the body of Christ. We're one body, and we've all got a part to play. And when we all just, you know, pull together and use whatever gift God has given us, then we really work as a wonderful body, looking out for one another, and then the Church of Christ can thrive. So do take time to read this booklet. It is encouraging to see all that God is doing here. I'm going to make a couple of comments about last year before we look to the future. So we've heard about the challenges of last year. We've heard about the chancel ceiling. But I was really encouraged. I mean, we took a kind of... We weren't too sure about cashing in some of our trust fund money. But we took £25,000 out of that trust fund. And the money's almost appeared in it. God is good. And then we started getting grants in. And we got £13,500. Thinking it was going to be way over £50,000, the tender came in at more like £36,000, which is superb. So some of the money was able to kind of help out with the money where insurance doesn't cover over here, but we will have some left over, which I'm hoping we can put into the fabric fund to make that look a bit more healthy. So that was very encouraging. Other challenges, I mean, unfortunately, we have to recognise that children's numbers on a Sunday morning have fallen. We've had some families who have moved to different places. It's a real shame. So we don't have enough children to make Pathfinders viable at the moment, and we also have a shortage of leaders. I would love to see that group re-established in a year or two. But maybe God is trying to redirect our efforts and thoughts elsewhere. I'll come to Messy Church a bit later, because I think maybe God's just moved our young people's work elsewhere. So let's not be despondent. Despite the challenges of last year, I think it turned out to be a great year, because by the end of the year, we were watertight with a new roof on, the chancel work was complete. There was a lull of baptisms and weddings and funerals for some reason for about 18 months, but they've all started to reappear. I don't particularly want to celebrate an increase in funerals, but people are looking to the church again. It just felt that we were invisible for a year or so in the community, but we're not invisible anymore, which is great. Ernest's family, of course, arrived last year, and it's wonderful to see the five children thriving here. We had great social and outreach events, which also raised money. Variety and spice, I mean, what a great fun evening that is. It is wonderful. If you haven't come along, do make an effort coming out for that wonderful evening. The annual barbecue is great fun, the fairs. Our work with the school is going really well. The school packed this place out at Christmas time. It's wonderful. But of course, the other encouragement was the legacy. Dear Dennis Asprey, I used to love visiting him at home. I know he'd stopped coming to church because he found it difficult getting out early. But what a wonderful man of God. And then he left this legacy of this piano and £10,000, enabling us to pay off the parish share without having to have a special giving day. So God's been good to us. And we're not in a bad position, but having said that, I was just kind of thinking this morning, and as I was thinking and praying, I just got this impression of Ezekiel 37, thinking, I feel sometimes that it just feels that we're in Ezekiel 37. Do you remember Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones? And you just think, oh my word, Lord, we're trying here, but you know, we're getting older. We're getting less young people in on a Sunday, and you know, we go and we share the gospel out in Elmswell, and we feel that, you know, it's kind of like trying to get through concrete with a teaspoon. It's hard work, but God is faithful, and he just gives us a wonderful, wonderful promise in Ezekiel 37. I'm just going to share a couple of verses, because in the midst of that vision of the valley of dry bones, what does God say to Ezekiel? He says, "Son of man, can these bones live? O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" And the vision goes on, and soon these bones have formed into human people and they form a great army of God. How did it happen? It happened by the word of the Lord being proclaimed and the Spirit of God breathing life into where there was death. Isaiah 55 is another one. It starts off with a promise of whoever is thirsty, come and drink. It's like a kind of a forerunner of Jesus' words. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and streams of living water will rise up in them, leading to eternal life. And at the end of Isaiah 55, there is again a promise of the word of the Lord. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The encouragement we have is sometimes we might look out at Elmswell and think, trying to kind of, you know, grow the church here in the UK in the 21st century is impossible. It looks like trying to ask dry bones to live. But the ministry of the Word of God in the power of the Spirit can transform anything. And this is our hope. And it's our hope here at Elmswell, which is why we take the Bible, the Word of God, so seriously. And it's why we pray that God will work in the power of His Spirit. Our strapline, as you know, is "Our aim is to know Christ and make him known." We want to grow deeper with Christ ourselves, and we want to reach out with the good news. It's the heart of our mission. And I want to think through this briefly by bringing up the diocesan framework. The diocese have been talking about growing in God, and they're asking every diocese to report back what we're doing in each of these areas. So looking ahead, how are we trying to grow in God? By growing in depth, growing in number, growing younger, and growing in influence. Well, let's look at growing in depth. I'm deliberately starting with this one because only when our own spiritual life is growing can we be most effective as Christians serving the Lord. God created us to be in relationship with Him. It's how He designed us. And so we need to be nurturing that relationship if we're to be His holy people. And how do we go deeper with God? Well, quite simply, engaging with God in our worship, in prayer, and in the Bible. It's why I encourage people to join a small group. The small group setting is where we can learn from the Bible together. It's where we can grow together in the power of the Holy Spirit, and where we can bring the needs of each other and the world and our community before God in prayer. Our spiritual life is not to be static, but to go deeper. So we have our small groups. We also have our teaching ministry here on Sundays and our prayer meetings. We have healing ministry. Our call is to be disciples. And we can only really be disciples if we sit under the authority of the good book. Perhaps you're not at that point yet. Well, if you've got questions about the Christian faith, do come along to Discovering Christianity. It's on the reverse of our Songs of Praise invitations. 4 evenings, any questions you would like to ask about the Christian faith, bring it with you. We will be tackling some of the most common ones, such as why does a good God allow suffering? How can we trust the Bible? Who exactly is Jesus anyway? Those sorts of questions. But that's an ideal way of trying to encounter the Lord God. So this is all part of growing deeper, nurturing our own spiritual life. But therefore, once we are growing deeper, let's move on to growing in number, because we want to make Christ known. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, we're commissioned to go out to all nations, aren't we? Teaching people and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So how do we try and grow our numbers here? The number of disciples. Well, one of the things we try to do, and the SOFT team, the Social Outreach Fundraising team, have been thinking a lot about this, is to just try and get people to get to know us socially. We have lots of social events here and social initiatives. So, for example, one that we started last year was the community choir. Lots of people like singing, but they don't want to commit to a formal choir week by week. But put on a community choir with a couple of rehearsals and an event to sing at, and people respond. So that was very successful at Christmas time, and we had the community choir again at Good Friday. It's a way of getting people to start to get to know us. When we have relationships, we can introduce them to the Lord. Many other social events, though, are great opportunities to invite people to get to know the church community. Quiz nights, ladies' lunch, barbecues, men's breakfast, the fairs, coffee mornings. Before we start to share the Christian faith, it's good just to get to know people. But maybe you actually think that somebody is ready to, you know, come straight into a church service. And we do have a variety of services. We have the informal breakfast church. We have the more formal 11 o'clock services. Please do invite somebody if you think it's appropriate. And don't just invite them. Remember, it's awkward to come through that wooden door. If you think they're interested, say, I'll meet you outside the door, or I'll pick you up in the car and we'll go in together. Very simple ways of encouraging people to encounter Christ. But the other way, of course, is we're going to enjoy a celebration with the community at Songs of Praise. But it's a wonderful opportunity again about just getting people inside this building to sing well-known hymns, to have a great evening, and then deliberately we've put Discovering Christianity on the back. Because there might be somebody out there who comes along, sings a few hymns, and thinks, actually, do you know what? It's years since I went to church. It's been a good evening. I would like to find out more. very easy to invite somebody to Songs of Praise. It'll be a great evening and a great celebration of our completion of building works. But finally, friends, we do need to be praying for the people of Elmswell. We believe Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one who can bring eternal life. He's the one who can quench the thirst. We need to be praying for God to break the barriers down that people have between coming to faith in Jesus. We do have a weekly prayer meeting. We could really be encouraged to see more people come along. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church, and we need to pray. Growing younger. Unfortunately, the days of people bringing their children to Sunday school seem to be over. There are so many other claims on people's time on Sundays now. The culture seems to be that Sunday's not for church, but for shopping or going to the beach or playing football. So, what are we doing with young people? Well, actually, when you see Ernest and myself go into school or open the book going to school, you'll be amazed at the way the children respond. They love hearing about the Christian faith. They're very excited. One of my highlights of last year was doing a Christingle in front of them. And just the wow when I lit the candle and explaining that Jesus is the light of the world was just so encouraging. And they always tell me how much they love Open the Book. It's great to see the school come here for special occasions like Harvest and Christmas. But I'm hoping that year 5 and 6 will return for Discover Advent, which is a way of those children engaging with a Christmas story in a creative way. We're doing great work with the school and we have a wonderful relationship with them. But the other initiative is Messy Church. Holiday Club seems to have ran its course, so we started up Messy Church in August, weekly, and we're continuing monthly, and it is thriving. A couple of weeks ago, we had Messy Church. There were 65 people in here, which I'm not sure how many we've got now, but it's probably the same number, or probably more. Just absolutely wonderful. Yes, there were about 12 helpers, but it was just superb, and the atmosphere is brilliant. We are reaching young people in a new and creative way. Messy Church is not just for children. If you want to come along, you don't need to bring children. You can come along, enjoy it, do the craft if you like, or just have a cup of coffee in the cafe area during that time and have a conversation. But it is really, really exciting. So sometimes, you know, we might say, well, where are the numbers of children we had 6 years ago in church? We might not be seeing them on a Sunday morning, but we're seeing loads of children at Messy Church. Messy Church is church, by the way. The diocese and the church have been saying this. It's a different way of doing church. It's called a fresh expression. But that Messy Church is a service. It might not look like one at times, but it is a service. And people are encountering the Word of God. And it's wonderful to see. So that's growing younger. And we're going to keep on pushing with Messy Church. And there's a chance we might actually have a Messy Church baptism at some stage, which will be exciting. Finally, growing in influence. We want to reach beyond ourselves in our impact on the wider world. St. John's is not an exclusive club. We want to influence society. We want to be salt and light. We want to support the poor or those who are finding times temporarily difficult. So we support the food bank. Thank you to everyone who puts food in the box at the back. That's a great blessing. We're going to get a defibrillator installed at the church gate. The fire brigade have already donated £1,000 to get that sorted. But it's not inside the church, because it's going to be used by us if we need it. Hopefully not. But it's going to be up at this end of the village so that we can be a blessing to the village. I'm talking to Elmswild about getting some wildflower meadows set up in the churchyard. They're doing that in various other areas. But you might have heard that there is a huge decline in insect population, particularly the pollinators like bees. And they need to be encouraged, because without bees, the crops won't pollinate and we won't have food to eat. So we can just do our own little bit. And again, it's being involved in people in the community. So we're looking at different ways so that we can be salt and light. Those are just some of the ways looking ahead. So let's go forward encouraging what God can do. We still have so many wonderful things going on here. We have a great mission field. In 1921, there was a wonderful revival in East Anglia. I spoke about it at the men's breakfast in February. It started off in Lowestoft and many people turned back to God. East Anglia, it can happen, East Anglia, it has happened. Let's pray for revival, but it takes prayer. Revival is always started off by people praying. So let's pray. We have an opportunity with Thy Kingdom Come, which we're doing every year now. The Church of England's really promoting it. Spend some time between Ascension Day and Pentecost praying. Keep your eyes open for more about that. As I close, just a couple of little comments. First one is that we have a new electoral roll. I'm hoping that I will actually try and book appointments just to come and see everyone on the electoral roll again and just have a cup of tea or little chat and ask how you're doing with God. Nothing heavy. But just the other thing to let you know, I was ordained now 10 years ago, 2009, in Rochester Cathedral. And after a time, we are allowed to take what we call a sabbatical. So next, probably February, March, April time, I'm going to be taking 3 months out of church life here to do other things. One idea is I might go to Cambodia for a while and work with some interesting projects there where they're helping to rehouse some people, and there might be an opportunity to help. There's revival going on in Cambodia. So many people becoming Christians and people want to become pastors, and they're quite interested in having people who are experienced pastors talk to them. So that's an idea that I might do for some of the time. But that's just to let you know of things that are going to be happening. Any questions on what I've said or anything else that goes on here? I think we'll move into the questions and answer slot. Any question at all on anything? Quarter past 12. That's not bad, is it? Any other business? Anything at all? Just going to turn the tape off.